Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Hackmans MMA Show. Mit Sebastian Hacke. Auf meinsportpodcast.de.
Hallo da draußen und herzlich willkommen zu Episode 88 von Hackmans MMA Show auf meinsportpodcast.de. Heute gibt's eine kleine Bonusausgabe, denn mein Freund und Kollege Karl Neithardt, seines Zeichens The Zone Fight Sports Producer, durfte vor wenigen Tagen ein Interview mit Michael Chandler führen. Iron Mike bekommt ja bekanntlich am kommenden Wochenende bei UFC 262 die Chance auf den UFC-Champion-Titel im Leichtgewicht. Das Event gibt es natürlich auch zu sehen auf The Zone, live in der Nacht von Samstag auf Sonntag um 4 Uhr und im Main-Event um die vakante Krone in der Gewichtsklasse bis 155 Pfund trifft also Chandler auf den Brasilianer Charles Oliveira. Chandler, der athletische Ringer, war ja NCAA Division I All-American, hat harte Hände, wisst ihr sicher, und er spricht also wenige Tage vor dem wichtigsten Kampf seines Lebens mit Karl, den ihr ja auch kennt, wenn ihr diesen Podcast regelmäßig hört. Karl war bereits mehrfach bei Hackmans MMA Show zu Gast und hat den dreimaligen Bellator Champion befragt. Karl wollte zum Beispiel wissen, wie sich Michael Chandler vor so einem bedeutenden Kampf fühlt, wie er auf die Kritiker reagiert, die der Meinung sind, dass er den Titelkampf nicht verdient. Und er hat auch eine interessante Frage gestellt, und zwar, was würde der Titelgewinn für den Menschen, für den Vater, für den Ehemann Michael Chandler bedeuten? Das hat mich auch interessiert. Und witzigerweise, das muss ich auch noch erzählen, haben Karl und ich uns vor dem Interview unterhalten. Und Karl meinte da zu mir, du kommst doch aus dem Wrestling-Hackel. Wäre Chandler nicht ein guter Wrestling-Charakter, weil der sich ja am Mikro so gut ausdrücken kann, weil er den Körper hat und so einen spektakulären Kampf gegen Dan Hooker abgeliefert hat? Und ich so, nö, Chandler, das ist ein Marvel-Charakter. Chandler ist Captain America, Karl. Der sieht aus wie ein Superheld, der ist ein absoluter Saubermann, ein Patriot, wie er im Buche steht, ein Vater, ein Ehemann, ein Familienmensch. Das ist Captain America, Karl. Und ja, was soll ich sagen? Karl hat ihm das im Interview erzählt. Also hört mal rein und erfahrt, wie Chandler auf diesen Vergleich reagiert hat. Ihr werdet das Interview mögen, das kann ich garantieren, und morgen, das kann ich auch schon garantieren, geht's hier im Podcast weiter mit der Analyse zur UFC Fight Night Rodriguez gegen Waterson. Ich durfte das Event auf The Zone kommentieren und freue mich, darüber sprechen zu können, hier bei Ausgabe 89 von Hackmans MMA Show, aber jetzt erstmal das Bonus-Interview von Episode 88. Hier ist Iron Michael Chandler im Interview mit The Zone Fight Sports Producer Karl Neithardt. Viel Spaß, Freunde der Sonne.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, Rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.
Nimmt sich, was man will,
dann wilde Gerüchte entstanden. Fast nichts davon stimmt.
Tatort Sport. Wenn Sporthelden zu Tätern oder Opfern werden, ermittelt Malte Asmus auf meinsportpodcast.de. Folge dem True Crime Podcast, denn manchmal ist Sport tatsächlich Mord. Nicht nur für Sportfans.
There he is, the man who wants to become the new lightweight champion of the UFC at UFC 262 in Houston, Texas. Michael Chandler, thank you for your time, man.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, man. I am just extremely excited. 8 days away, baby.
The last time we saw you, or the last time I saw you, was obviously at 257 with the words, God bless, see you at the top. Now we're 8 days away from the top. How does that feel?
It feels great. You know, I've been, I stole See You at the Top from Zig Ziglar. One of the greatest communicators and motivators of all time. A man that I wish I would have been able to meet before he passed away, but he always said, "See you at the top." He wrote a book called "See You at the Top." And I just love, I have the shirt on, but like, it's not just about getting to the top. It's about the "see you there." And I think I've always just had this kind of community feel, realizing that I can't get to the top without the people around me. And when I do get to the top and I look to my right, look to my left, and there's nobody there with me, then what the heck was I doing it for? So, I've just been building this community for a really long time. It feels so great to finally get the opportunity to fight for the number one position on the entire planet. I will be the number one lightweight in the world come May 15th, I believe. And it's all come full circle. All roads have led me to this, and 8 days away, and a dream is realized.
Now, obviously, if you're successful, there will always be haters. So you always got the critics saying this has happened too fast, and Oliveira has done this like for 10 years in the UFC. And you've come in, done one fight. Now you're in that title shot position. What do you answer to them? What's your response?
I think it's absolutely warranted. I'm not going to sit here and say that those people can't have that opinion. I understand the optics of it. I understand the circumstances by which we are governed by right now. But Khabib retired. You got Poirier and Conor tied up in a trilogy. Poirier was offered the title shot, but said no and decided to fight Conor. You got Oliveira, myself, and Justin Gaethje. That leaves us three. And the UFC decided to go with me and Oliveira. Do I think I deserve it? I think deserve is a hard word to actually to prove, right? Who really deserves a title shot? It's all subjective. It's all up to the promoters. It's all up to the promotion. But what I will say is, just like Charles Oliveira has been cutting his teeth and having a phenomenal resume for the last decade in the UFC, I've done the same exact thing, just not inside the UFC. Now, if I would have came in and beat number 17 on the roster, number 17, number 20 in the rankings, and then got a title shot, it would definitely be a lot worse. But I just dismantled and knocked out in 2.5 minutes a guy in Dan Hooker, who's the number 5 guy in the world. Dustin Poirier, Paul Felder couldn't do that in 50 minutes combined. I was the first guy to knock out Dan Hooker to the head in his entire career. So I think that warrants me to be looked at as one of the guys who is top in the world. There will still be people who think I don't deserve it. There will be people who look at the belt around my waist and say, that guy doesn't deserve it. He's not the real champion. That's fine. But eventually, I believe they're going to come around when they see how hard I work, when they see my performances, when they're entertained every single time I step inside the octagon.
Now, I've talked to my pundits in Germany over here, our experts, our commentators of the UFC, and we've talked about the upcoming event. And when I asked them about you, one of them compared you to a Marvel character and said, this guy for me resembles Captain America. Is that a comparison you can live by?
I love it. Actually, I have a friend who I train with, Ange Lusa, who's from he's from the Netherlands, and he calls me Captain America. But I by no means would ever say that I resemble a Marvel character or Captain America. I will say I'm extremely proud to be an American. I am extremely proud to wear the stars and bars, to wear the stars and stripes, carry them to the octagon, and be the only male UFC American champion. On May 15th, it's going to be me and Rose Namajunas as the sole American champions in the UFC. Obviously, she is a female. I will be the only male American champion. So I'm excited to hold the UFC title. I'm excited to be the only American champion. And maybe someday I will get to Captain America status. But for now, I'm just Michael, and I'm just trying to be UFC champion.
Fair enough. Now, of course, we all know you're a proud husband, you're a proud father. What would that mean for the human being, Michael Chandler, to get this title?
It means everything. I mean, it probably means more to me as a human being than it does an athlete. You know, I've been through some tough times. I've been through some losses. My wife has sacrificed tirelessly over the last 8 years that we have been together. 7 years of marriage. My son has been away from me way too often over the last 3 years, 3.5 years that he has been my son. And all of those sacrifices are so worth it, because I believe God's promises on my life require me to do these things. But Every night with my son, when I'm with him, we pray for daddy's belt. He knows I'm fighting a belt. Every time I go home and see him, he always asks me, daddy, did you win the belt yet? So this isn't just about winning the belt for me and for to be the UFC champion and make more money and be put on a platform, but it's for my son. It's for my wife. It's for the sacrifices that they have made. So I'm so excited to put that UFC championship belt on my mantle and bring it back to my son and just put it around his waist and see if he can walk around with it.
That warms my heart. I gotta say that it's hard to be that subjective as a journalist, but warms my heart as a human.
Thank you.
Now, of course, we got to talk about the fight a little bit. So if you could imagine, because I don't like predictions, but if you could paint a picture of how this ends from a fight perspective, from how the fight turns out to be, what would that picture look like?
Best case scenario, I walk him down in the first, start instilling fear in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit, in his soul, finish him in the second with devastating strikes, avoid the takedown, avoid the grappling exchanges, avoid the cage work and the cage control and the upper body stuff that he likes to get people in. Be stingy in the areas that I need to be stingy in. Be dominant in the areas I need to be dominant in. I believe if I put my hands on him in any form or fashion, I put his lights out in the first or second round. However, I'm prepared to go 25-minute knockdown, drag-out war with Charles Oliveira. I believe he has that in him. I believe he is that kind of an opponent, and I believe that would be a lot of fun. So ideally, I knock him out in this before the third round, first or second round, and then collect my paycheck, collect the belt, go kiss my wife, and go see my son.
I've got two more because we only got 10 minutes, so I got to speed up a little bit. Of course, I got to ask you about how does it feel to have fans back? It's going to be a packed arena in Houston. We saw at 261 what that can do.
So great. It's so, so exciting.
Hugo, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, so exciting. I mean, a packed house at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. Number one, it's in Texas. It's going to be really hard to find a man or a woman in the arena who's not directly one of Charles Oliveira's family who's rooting against me. You know, when I wear the stars and bars, the American flag, they're obviously going to probably be rooting for me. So it's a perfect stage that has been set. The fans are going to be loud. The MMA fans have been so starved for mixed martial arts, live mixed martial arts action and entertainment over the last year that people are going to come from all coasts, all over the world to descend upon the Toyota Center. And I'm just tickled and extremely excited to be the main event and fighting for the UFC title. I believe I'm going to put on a phenomenal show, and I believe it's going to be my best performance to date. And I can't wait to go out there and put on a great show for all the fans in Houston, Texas.
Now, of course, before I let you go, I have to ask you about the upcoming, the next big thing, like Poirier against Conor. What's your prediction? How do you see that trilogy unfold? Because there could be the next opponent for you if you win the belt.
Yeah, I believe they will be. One of those two guys will be my next opponent after I beat Charles Oliveira on May 15th. That's a tough one to call. They both are 1-1. They each have a win over each other. They each have a knockout over each other. They have each bested each other in the two different meetings that they have had. I think Conor makes the right adjustments mentally and physically and technically to make the fight a lot more competitive in the second one. I do believe Conor was in the driver's seat in that first round, but Poirier, you can't ever count him out. Poirier's got a gas tank. Poirier has a chin. So if I had to pick, I think Conor makes the right adjustments to be able to get in Poirier's head early and beat him. But man, you can't ever count out Dustin Poirier. Maybe it's wishful thinking that I want it to be Conor so I can fight Conor at the end of the year, but we shall see.
All right, so in your eyes, the baddest man on the planet goes back to the baddest man in the planet.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I think if he goes back to the baddest man on the planet, I think he's going to have a lot more success inside that octagon with Dustin Poirier. But I do love the fact that he has turned a page, turned over a new leaf in his life as a man, as a father, as a husband.
Oh, again, speaks for you as a human being, as an athlete. Michael, thank you for your time, man. It's been a big pleasure. Sad that it's such a short time only, but looking forward to the next one. And all the best at 262.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Same here. Bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye.
Das war also das Interview mit Iron Michael Chandler, der am kommenden Wochenende seinen 22. Profisieg einfahren will und sich natürlich auch krönen will. Er will neuer Champion im Leichtgewicht werden und Karl Neidhardt hat wenige Tage vor diesem Super-Event UFC 262 nämlich mit ihm gesprochen. Ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, dann hinterlasst gerne eine 5-Sterne-Rezension bei Apple Podcast. Schickt auch gerne euer Feedback twitter.com/SebastianHackl oder instagram.com/SebastianHackl oder einfach @SebastianHackl eingeben und den Hashtag HackmanMMA in den sozialen Medien benutzen. Morgen sprechen wir, also ich und ein Gast, werde ich noch nicht verraten, wer das ist, über die Fight Night Rodriguez gegen Waterson. Die durfte ich ja in der Nacht von Samstag auf Sonntag am vergangenen Wochenende auf der Zone kommentieren. Marina Rodriguez mit einem überzeugenden Sieg gegen Michelle Waterson im Main Event, aber es gab viel Diskussionspotenzial. Donald Cerrone mit einer Niederlage gegen Alex Morono und da hat sich meine Stirn tatsächlich in Sorgenfalten gelegt. Also ich mache mir schon langsam Sorgen um den Cowboy. Warum, weshalb, das werde ich morgen sagen. Neil Magny besiegt Geoff Neal. Geoff Neal hat 37 Pfund gecuttet in der Woche vor dem Kampf. Also Weight Cutting wird auch morgen wieder ein Thema sein. Ich muss mich da ein bisschen aufregen und echauffieren, denn ein Camp, eine Ecke, die so etwas zulässt, die einen Kämpfer dann nicht aus der Schusslinie zieht und sagt, nee, wir müssen den Kampf absagen, die ihn 40 Pfund fast cutten lässt in der Woche vor dem Kampf. Ich weiß nicht, was ich da sagen soll, aber vernünftig ist das nicht. Dann gab es eine indiskutable Leistung in meinen Augen von Maurice Green, der da überhaupt nichts gezeigt hat gegen Marcos Rogério de Lima. Also das war ein Katastrophenkampf. Dann haben wir einen Kampf von Gregor Gillespie, der eine schwierige erste Runde übersteht und dann gegen Carlos Diego Ferreira gewinnt durch TKO. In der zweiten Runde, aber auch da hat Carlos Diego Ferreira das Gewicht nicht geschafft, war 4,5 Pfund zu schwer. Weight Cutting ist und bleibt ein Problem. In den Prelims gab es einen Kampf, wo ein Kämpfer gar nicht mehr auf der Waage von alleine stehen konnte. Er musste gestützt werden, wurde dann von der Card genommen. Ja, dazu morgen mehr. Der Eröffnungskampf noch. Phil Hawes besiegte Kyle Dorcas durch Decision. Auch darüber werden wir sprechen. Also da ist eine Menge drin in dieser unscheinbaren Fightcard. Rodriguez gegen Waterson, da ist viel passiert. Da gab es einige Entwicklungen, über die man sprechen muss. Und da gibt es auch durchaus Negatives, über das man diskutieren muss. In meinen Augen. Wenn ihr das auch so seht oder wenn ihr es anders seht, schreibt es mir gerne. Hashtag HackmanMMA in den sozialen Medien. Ich bin @SebastianHackl bei Twitter oder Instagram. Schreibt gerne eine 5-Sterne-Bewertung bei Apple Podcast. Dann schießt der Podcast weiter nach oben in den Rankings. Danke auch für die vergangenen Bewertungen. Dazu werde ich morgen auch ein paar Worte sagen. Aber jetzt bleibt ihr erstmal sicher, sauber und safe. So long. Kuss aufs Auge. Hackman out.
Hackmans MMA Show mit Sebastian Hackl auf meinsportpodcast.de.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön, rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.